time for the In the Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation,
the podcast.
We back. 2021 almost done, circling the Black History year.
Yes,
coming
sir.
Coming up on old Jesus' birthday, you know, Christmas time is upon us. How you doing, man?
Man, I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Shit, I'm so off a little whirlwind road trip, traveling for the holidays. You know what I'm saying? Drove from New York to the A, so
yeah.
I'm fresh off of that. I'm talking fresh off. I pulled in and plugged in the mic.
Yeah, that's crazy. I admire the commitment. And you did that dolo, but you did that with your young one. So you was the sole driver.
Yeah, I was the sole driver, coach.
That's a
feat. You know what I'm saying? The car shrink.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? You got to keep the coach, keep everybody focused to the finish line.
Right. You and her, you had to keep everybody focused on that
right,
whip.
Right, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Decider on which the menu gonna be.
Right.
So
what y'all have? Anything good?
Nah, what you gonna get on the road good that you trying to get and jump back in the whip? See, the trick on the road is every stop takes away from your, it adds to your ETA. So
right. You
be trying to, I be trying to map out the stops strategically. I didn't get to do it as smooth this trip as I did the last couple because, one, I was a little tired. You know what I'm saying? So, I felt like I was a step off. You know what I mean? And I didn't want to make no mistakes. So, I pulled on over, got
right.
food. You know what I'm saying? Did what I had to do just to make sure.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I'm staying fresh.
Right.
I didn't have my playlist organized right because, you know what I'm saying? Because I wanted to do, you know, usually on those types of trips, what works best for me is not the music. It's more like the podcast or the audio books or something like that, right?
Right.
So I start off with the music. This time, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you know, we on the holiday trip. My daughter really wanted to make it an adventure, so I play my Black Christmas playlist, you know what I'm saying, with all the soul Christmas songs, you know what I'm saying, Santa Claus Goes Straight to the Ghetto, you know what I'm saying, you know what I'm saying, Temptations, you know what I'm saying, Silent Night, all that good Miami Christmas music, you know what I'm saying, even though I'm just, you know, it's just, I like to provide that soundtrack. And it's weird because the first time I made that playlist, it was a holiday season where I think, you know what I'm saying, I was broke that year. And we didn't get to travel to the A like we usually do. So, you know what I'm saying? That's sad off the rip. You know what I'm saying? When you don't make the travel. So I'm trying to, you know, create some cheer. So I made this playlist, you know what I'm saying, of all these songs that I grew up listening to. So that playlist has kind of stuck. And so, you know what I'm saying, I play it every year. And so when I got in, I was playing my joints. So, you know what I'm saying, started off good, but then I went to my audio book, and that shit didn't hit right. I'm like, ooh, that was a bad choice.
Dang, which one did you go to? What was the audio book?
The dude who started Trader Joe's, his like book, his autobiography, not about autobiography, but you know how he built Trader Joe's.
Memoir. Yeah. Okay.
So, you know, I had that queued up. All right, boom. That wasn't what it was. You know what I'm saying? It didn't hit right. You know what I'm saying? But then when you mess around with them books, you can't just be shuffling through looking for a book while you driving. You know what I mean? That's something you need to have in queue. You know what I'm saying?
You can't just pull
up. All right, let me pivot. So that threw me off. So I'm like, Then I tried to throw on a book I had heard already. You know what I'm saying? So I threw on The Alchemist. That's one of my favorites, but that ain't hit either, because you need some type of discovery when you're listening to these things. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, this is terrible. So I went back to the music, and the music wasn't working. So fuck. So I'm trying to figure a pod. You know what I'm saying? When we started to eat, I was like, you know what? I never really listened to the Drink Champs. You know what I'm saying? I only see the clips, you know? So I ain't never watched I never listened to a whole one. So I was like, let me fuck with some. All right, I pulled up Drink Champs and then I listened to it. I don't know if that was you, but I remember somebody just in the zeitgeist was like, yeah, that LL one is good. So I put that one on. And then, you know, I listened to that, and then I listened to the Big Sean one. You know, was six. That's 6 hours right there, you know what I mean? So,
nice.
Yeah, so, but, you know, it took a second to get to that point, you know what I'm saying? So I probably was already 5 hours in the trip before I got, all right, boom, I could rock with this, you know? So, but, you know, we made it in, we pulled in, came in, threw the mic together. Whoop, whoop, here we go.
There it is. We here. Yeah, but
That should have tripped how it works, man. You know what I mean? Like, damn, you really gotta have your shit together when you hit that road. And I had everything else together. I had my snacks. I went, you know what I'm saying, got all my snacks, I got some green juices. So I ain't just was drinking no, you know, bullshit along the way. Had some fruit, had some, you know what I'm saying, some sliced mangoes. I was good. Like, okay, boom. Had the snacks my daughter liked. It's like, okay, I'm cool on that front. But then, you know what I'm saying, you got to be cool. What's going to, you know what I'm saying, stimulate your mentals. Like, man, you got to worry about your chicken, man. You got to get your chicken, stimulate your chicken.
Okay. Got to have your chicken right. Got to make sure your chicken is, yeah, man. So when you said the Trader Joe's book was bombing, was it just with you, or was your daughter like, this is, come on, like, who's the audience when you say it's bombing?
It was me, because I'm the one that's driving, so I've got to be stimulated, you know what I'm saying? She already know how I get down. So she had her AirPods in, you know what I'm saying, unless we was talking. You know, it was good because we had great conversation. She was a great she was a great coach. She was like a great co-pilot, you know what I mean? Cause
good.
She was engaged. She was super excited to be headed out. You know what I mean? She was down for a road trip, you know? So that was good. It's like she wasn't complaining about none of that. She already know I like to listen to shit. And she was actually listening to it when I was, and I cut it off. She was like, why you cut it off? I'm like, it was just what I needed.
She's like, oh.
Because, you know what I'm saying? It was because what he's talking about, one, it's cool because I started listening to it already, and I knew the book was good. You know, he was saying some good stuff in the book. It's just the era he was talking about, I had no real connection to. Not the era, but just the audience. Like, so his first with Trader Joe's, he was saying how their audience at the time was the overeducated, underpaid audience. You know what I'm saying? And they found that out just through, you know, working. The people who was gravitating to the store turned out to be, you know what I'm saying, people who were overeducated and underpaid. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And, you know, that's some wild shit to break down about your people, but that's what it was. And so when he's talking about these people, it's just hard to connect with, you know what I'm saying? It was like, I understand who he's talking about, but to make a, like, the reference, he's talking about, yeah, when we had this particular kind of cheese and da 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 da, and, you know, and it worked because, you know, of our audience, we're like, man, I don't know who these people are. So it was hard to kind of, you know what I'm saying? It was hard to stimulate my mind because I wasn't making the connections. You know what I'm saying? I had to kind of make it up for myself, you know. And when you're reading, you could do that, and you're sitting still, you just, you know, or you might go to Google and look up some shit. But when you're driving, you need to be making connections, need to be connecting.
Yeah. You need that. Need that energy.
Right. Yeah. You can't be out there like wondering.
Right, right. Yeah, it ain't the time for that. I'll say this, on your way back, I don't know if you're going to do any more audiobooks, but if so, man, download that Will Smith book.
Damn. Yeah. I should have hit you before I left.
Yeah, man. That's a good one. That's got at least, I think, about 16 hours, too. So it's a good situation.
That's perfect.
Yeah, man. So that's... That's if you when you're on your double back.
No, no, no. Definitely on the double back. Got to get back. Yeah, I'm gonna do that. When I went back, when I drove back to New York last time, I listened to Bev book and I had read it.
Okay.
But I listened to it with, you know what I'm saying? That shit got her voice on it, so it's kinda like, you know, she was riding with me. You know what I mean?
That was
a good, like, I think it was 8 hours, you know what I mean? That she rode back to New York just talking her talk. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then, you know, in the audio book, the jokes hit harder because you could hear them. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? When you read them and then some of the words might be a little proper, more proper than they probably would be in real life. When you hear it in the voice, it resonates differently. So I enjoyed that one.
Yeah, I can imagine. That's a good one. I read that. I ain't listened to that one on Audible. I heard a lot of people I know listen to the Audible one. I definitely got to check it out.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely got to check that out. What was I going to say, man? Yeah, but I mean, shit, you made it. So that's a good look. That's a good situation. I'm happy now, man. I just did my last show of the year. You know, and I'm really happy because talk to my people and we have all decided. I just wanted to make sure we was all on the same page. But we are not exchanging gifts this year, and that shit is liberating. That shit feels amazing. I'm not going to lie to you. That shit, I could enjoy Saturday. I could kick it. It's just a regular, you know what I mean? Enjoy Jesus' birthday for what it is. Happy birthday, Jesus.
What made y'all decide on that?
We've done it before. I think we've done it a couple times. Just, I don't know what I don't know if it was a financial issue the first time we did it, but it was just one of those things where it was like, man, we don't need to do this. Like, there's no, like, kids anymore. You know what I mean? My niece is grown. Like, and I think there had been some attempts, but then somebody would, like, you know, break the bond and go and buy gifts and then everybody else feel a certain type of way. And then I think my grandparents was getting old, so they, you know, they couldn't really shop like they wanted. And it was also like, after a while, what more can you get people? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, same people over and over. You know, I like gift giving, but I realized that I like birthday gifts, dedicated gifts more than Christmas gifts, because Christmas gifts to me feels more like a hit list, you know. And you know what I'm saying? You got your people, and you're like, all right, I got seven people on the hit list. Okay, I got to get this off, I got to get that off, and it's not really about the gift as much as just swiping a name off. Boom, done. And then Christmas, everybody's shopping at the same time. Everybody's going for a lot of the same shit. There's crowds, all of that type of shit. I'm a procrastinator, so I'm going to wait till the last minute, this, that, and the other thing. So it was a heavy load off, and I'm good money. I'm chilling. Like, I feel great. Like, I'm so, that shit, I'm in the Christmas spirit. You know what I'm saying? I'll be honest with you. I'll tell you this, too, because you know there's always that hard gift to find every Christmas, whether it's Tickle Me Elmo from years ago or fucking PS5. This year, man, it's getting that at-home COVID test. This Omicron and came, or Marion as the people call it, you know, this motherfucker, this variant came to shake the game up in the buzzer beat of COVID.
Hey, man.
You know, so
that's just so serious, man. I know five people today tested positive. I'm talking about today. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man.
It's like I ain't never know this many people that that was affected, you know, is being affected by it all at once like that, you know?
Yeah. I'm going to test myself after this. I'm hoping I'm fine, but, yeah, man, I'm trying, you know, I'll be good after I get that, you know, if I get that negative, but I was trying to find me, because I got one last at-home piece. I was driving around trying to find me another box so I could, you know, just in case shit came back the way I didn't want, I could do a, you know, a second opinion test, but, you know what I mean? But, yeah, we're going to see what it is. Hopefully it's all good. But to your point, yeah, I'm seeing quite a few people getting this Omicron or whatever. Omicron. Sound like some J Electronica shit. But, Omarion. Omarion, you know what I mean? All of that shit. But, yeah, B, I'm feeling good, ready for this, you know, for this weekend, ready for this, like, this nice little... this downtime between now and the new year, you know, settle in, chill, relax, maybe watch some TV, watch some films, maybe read a book or something. Like, it's, you know, really lean in, you know what I'm saying? So I'm looking forward to that shit. Yeah, man. Yeah. What's your plans for the holidays?
Man, I'm staying out the way. That's one. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? You know, again, I grew up Muslim, so you know what I'm saying? I don't really celebrate Christmas. You know, everybody around me do, so you know, I participate in watching everybody else, you know, have a great time. And then, you know, it's been that way, you know what I mean? Even when you ain't wanted to be that way as a kid, you know, my grandma's house was pretty big. My mom, we had 12 brothers and sisters, so it's 1,000 cousins. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, you know, I'm there every weekend, and then, you know, Christmas come, and you're there for the whole, basically the whole Christmas break. And, you know, all them gifts be under the tree. And, you know, everybody, you know, deciphering which one is theirs, you know what I'm saying? Kind of sizing up the size of the box and the shape. And, you know, my shit was always the one little package that was going to always be some socks, nigga. So.
Thanks for playing.
Yeah. But, cause, you know, she know we didn't celebrate Christmas, but she would put that one little, you know what I'm saying, just make sure you have something up under that. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
In the end, you end up watching everybody else have it, you know what I'm saying, have a great time, and, you know, you know, it's fun because everybody's there and, you know, the energy is on 20. So it's fun. It's just one for you, you know, and you had to sit back and be okay with that. And, you know, as a kid, some years you ain't all the way okay with it. You be like, damn, man, I got these damn socks. Everybody got Ataris and, you know what I'm saying, the handheld football games and shit. But, you know. The best part was always that Christmas morning going outside back then, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, in Brown Sub, it was like all the kids was out, you know what I'm saying? Whether you had a bike, skateboard, you know what I'm saying, new skates, whatever it was, basketball, if it was just a ball, you was out there with it, and you was putting it straight to use on Christmas Day, having it. You know what I'm saying? It was a school right across the street, Mary McLeod Bethune Elementary. And, you know, at that time, it was, it's like one of them schools where the doors open up to the outside like a breezeway. So it wasn't like an all closed in school. A lot of schools in Miami was like that, like open out to the breezeway and then, you know. So the breezeways was open. So everybody be riding their bikes all through the breezeways, you know what I'm saying? And one particular year, everybody had skates for whatever reason. I guess skates was the big gift for the year. And then everybody just getting like a skate train, and skate all through the school. And then when the sidewalk ended, it was like to a field, and then everybody just jump off the ledge into the field. That shit was so fun. You know what I'm saying? So it was always like that was the best part when everybody just congregated outside with whatever they had, whatever that thing was. And so, you know, like for a nigga who just had socks, you got to play with the ball that whoever brought out, or the football game that ensued, or you know what I'm saying? You just put your old skates on with everybody with their new skates and just skate with everybody else. But it was just fun because everybody was just out at once doing their thing.
Right, yeah. Everybody revealing all their new shit. Yeah.
Right, but it was less about the newness of the shit and more about I'm out here about to put whatever this thing is to use. You know what I'm saying? Because right. It wasn't like nobody was rich and no shit like that. So, you know what I'm saying? Like somebody might have had a bike. Somebody, you know, like skates. But like I said, it was just always like, even if you got a ball, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. A new football for Christmas. You know, you was out there putting it to use. It was going to be, you know what I'm saying, a whole football game going on because, you know, somebody got the football this year, you know.
Right.
So when you ain't really have a bunch of things, you know what I'm saying, you can still participate with the group, with the neighborhood. Mm. That was like community.
The community, yeah, that's cool. That's real cool. Yeah. That's what's up.
So to this day, it still feels that way because everybody, you know, you watch everybody do that thing, and as a parent, you know what I'm saying, you just do your part by financing it, and then you sit back and watch everybody have a good time, you know what I'm saying? And then these days, shit, nigga, I appreciate a good new sock. You know what I'm saying? Like, I could deal with a new pair of socks around this month.
Good pair of socks is the shit. That shit is official. Some good supportive ass socks, a nice little thick thread count. I don't say thread count because that's more of bed sheet, but you know, a thick ass sock that hug your foot nice, that got a little padding in the insole or whatever, that shit is something serious. Yeah, I ain't mad at a good sock either. Nah, I could appreciate it. I understand what it is now. Right. Before, though, it was like, get the fuck out of here. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Before the good little football sock, the green and gold football sock. Like,
Oh, shit. That sounds cool, man.
Nah, no doubt.
That sounds... Oh, shit, dude. What else is going on? See, I saw some shit to get ready for 2022. Snowfall coming back as soon as February 23rd, they just announced.
Yeah,
season 5. Fast turnaround. I'm excited. I guess it's pretty fast. It feels like it.
Man, they went straight to work. I mean, it's picking up in popularity, so I'm sure they feeling that. Like, let's get to it. You know what I'm saying? You know, rest in peace, John Singleton. You know what I mean? Maybe it seemed like, you know, somebody said they already had a plan for the next couple seasons. So,
right.
You know, maybe they got straight to it. Maybe it's less cooks in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I don't know. Right.
We'll see what that product looked like.
Mm-hmm.
Cause the streets is watching.
Streets is right. I was there. Like streets is watching, and even more than the streets, it looked like, cause that was their most watched season mm-hmm. 4. So yeah, they definitely got that momentum cracking. So that should be kind of cool.
And then you know Denzel not knowing who Dancing and Idris.
Dancing Address.
Dancing Address is. That put a little fire to it already. You know.
Right.
And they might have one new viewer.
Yeah.
Exactly. Let me see what the hell going on with the Dancing Address ass nigga. They gonna call me out on the red carpet. I don't worship mother. They gonna be asking me about do I know a motherfucker shit. God damn it.
Man. That's such a weird question to ask. That reporter was asking some weird questions. There was that question. Then there was another question that said, I forget the question. It was something like, you know, they say, who's the better actor, Will Smith or you? This is what she asked him. It was, there's a poll on Twitter, like, who's the better actor, you or Will Smith? What do you think about that poll? he was like, well, I know Will got more money than me, which was a, you know, a cool, funny way to defer this shit. But kind of question is that? Like, that's right. some Twitter shit. But, you know, everybody,
everybody getting a space in these spaces. So, you know.
Yeah.
Twitter reporter, you know, she right next to whoever, you know.
Yeah, going for them retweets. I saw it. Then I guess there's a part two to the whole dance and address shit, which is interesting because it's like Denzel old now. You know what I'm saying? He got that. He ain't got a whole lot of patience for a lot of the bullshit. You know, he's trying to keep it charming, but you know, especially when you ain't got a whole lot of patience and you out the loop, so you can't fully grasp the cultural implications, you don't really know how far this is going to travel or how deep the people are into this shit. So they were like, you know, because Damson, he changed his Twitter name to Dance and Address, right? And he was like, from now on, just call me Dance and Address. That was his shit. So I guess it was another reporter that was like, did you see on social media, Dancing Address changed his name to Dancing, or Damson Interest changed his name to Dancing Address? And then Denzel was like, well, look, I just want to tell that young man, watch my movie. And if you really serious about this, you know, you'll know it. And, you know, wherever you trying to go, you ain't going to go there just through that social media. So really get out. It was like, he's giving some advice, but it's a little off base, especially because you don't know that this. Yeah, man, leave that man alone, man. Leave that man alone. Don't have him ass. Don't have him looking crazy like that. But yeah, man. You know, hopefully he watched Snowfall over the break.
Yeah, they'll connect. Connect at some point.
Yeah, they'll or be cool. Not. They'll do something together.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
Some producer going to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Just for the social capital of it all.
Mm-hmm. For the virals.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but you know, you got to, you know, Denzel OG, man. You got to give him a pass. He ain't finna know all you motherfuckers, man. It's like, man, still working. You know what I mean? He grown. He's still working. She like, man, listen, I'm trying to remember my lines, man.
Dude, I don't know who he is, but, you know, salute to that, man. Keep doing your thing, whatever that is. Keep doing that shit.
You know, I've been listening to Drink Champs all day, so salute to that man. You know what I'm saying?
Right. We want to give him his flowers. Right. Yeah, man.
Man, the number one thing on that goddamn show is I ain't mean to interrupt you.
Oh, that nigga's the interrupt king. Yeah.
Interrupted ass nigga. And I mean, golly. Every time it get good. Yeah. But you're like, wait, let the man finish.
Right. On a whole different tangent. Yeah, some other shit.
And it's always random and not deep as what this person about to say.
Right. Nigga be in some real deep shit. This nigga Nori will pick up the phone and be like, yo, just look who just FaceTimed you. Nigga like, huh? Yeah, pick up the FaceTime. Oh, shit. Oh, okay, it's a FaceTime from Diddy. Thanks, Diddy. Hey. Yeah, man, that shit is wild.
His whole promo, his merch game need to be, I don't mean to interrupt.
That's funny.
His whole promo game.
Yeah, that shit is chaotic as fuck. But it be working. It's been some good episodes this year, too. Yeah.
You know, 3 hours, you get some shit out of the 3 hours now.
Yeah, they sit down. That's a long time. I got shit. Alicia smoked the blunt on one of the most recent one. Well, not the most recent one, the one before Big Sean.
Mm-hmm.
That was interesting. I haven't seen it.
Well, actually, I ain't watched none of them. I listened to them.
It was cool. It was good to see, man. It was a good ass interview.
When you listen to it, like you say, it's chaotic. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But it fits like especially somebody that's like from New York, a New York rapper, you know what I mean? Right. From the era when it used to be a lot of niggas in your video, like you just used to being around a lot of people. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's that type of energy where it's like a bunch of niggas, you know what I'm saying? Like, you don't get that energy too often these days, you know what I mean? Because it's usually, you know, one-on-ones or a couple people in the room and not no real, kind of like a crew of people. And so I listen to the joints, you know what I'm saying? And then you hear people laughing in the background. I'm like, damn, sound like a lot of people in that room. You know what I'm saying? But then I came across one that was the Smoke Champs with Wallow and Gilly the Kid and a guy named Jungle. And you could hear Nori like in the background. He wasn't on the mic, but you could hear him chime in, you know what I mean? So I guess it was like, I don't know if they was piloting the Smoke Champs or whatever, but that's what it was. And that shit was super chaotic, you know what I'm saying? That, like, you know, all them they was talking about jail and shit like that. And it just, that's what it just sounded like. Like, these niggas is on the block, just, you know what I'm saying, the mess hall, just, you know, having it. I'm like, man, what are y'all talking about, man? This is super, this is stressing my, I gotta listen to this at another time. I can't drive and listen to this. Y'all niggas is stressing me out. You know what I'm saying? The one cat was talking about when he intimidated Pac at Battery Park or some shit like that. You know what I'm saying?
And right.
You tried to pull the pistol on him or whatever. So, and you know, niggas just animated telling this story. I was like, Lord have mercy. This is making my nerves bad.
Yeah. I've watched Smoke Champs.
I can see in his eye. Yeah. I can see in his eye. He ain't want it. He ain't want it. Nigga, eyes was looking crazy, son.
Yeah, that's some New York shit.
I was like, I wonder how exaggerated this story got from 92 to now.
got to emote. You know, it's so funny. I guess that is some New York. I don't know if it's some New York shit, but I know it took me a minute. Like, I would audition for shit or just do talking head shit, trying to tell a story or whatever. And to bring some intensity to it or to bring some emotion to it, I would always get louder. I still get loud, but you know, I would always get louder. And I remember somebody was like, you know, you don't have to get loud to convey that. And when they said that shit, I felt ridiculous. I was like, I guess so. I felt real self-conscious about that shit because I was like, oh, I guess so. But you know, you get so hyped. But to your point, sometimes if you're telling a story to a bunch of people, you know, attention spans, even prior to social media, attention spans are short. Mm-hmm. So you feel like you losing the room. The best way to get them is with the volume. Then, yo, check shit. You got to reset your shit. Hold on. This real talk. Or you do the shit. Long story short, hold on. At the, you know what I mean? You try to front like the story's about to end a little bit. And it, it ain't going nowhere. But Jungle is Nas's brother, FYI. So that's
brother,
story.
Like his real brother?
Yeah, that's his real brother. Yep.
Okay, grew up together. Okay,
that's
cool,
his little
cool.
brother. Mm-hmm. Yeah. They actually, to that point, Nas got a dope podcast too called The Bridge. Him and Minya O, Miss Info.
Okay.
They do a podcast together. It's pretty good. It's probably about 8 of them out right now. Shout out to Jason Rodriguez. He's like the producer on that.
Oh, okay.
And it's on Spotify. It's good. It's got some good episodes. My favorite, he had Mary on there. That was real good. And the one with Jungle, actually, that's the first one with his brother.
Mm-hmm.
That's real good because, you know, Jungle got he has a perspective of Nas that nobody else can have. Like, he known him since they were kids. So, there's that. Yeah, he lived with him. Exactly. So, there was another one. Juicy J one was pretty good too. Like, there's some good ones. So he had Juicy J on. He had Ice Cube. Had who else? Jazzy Jeff. Some good shit on there.
I might load that in the queue too.
Yeah. That's something good. I'm gonna say something.
Jungle. Yeah, the Jungle sound wild, boy. That mother was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Shit. Yeah. I'm like, golly.
He the live one. He the live one out the two. You know, Nas is real chill. Yeah, Jungle's definitely the one. I was going to say something, though, that you reminded me of, but it'll come back. Fuck. I'm trying to think what I've been, what I was going to go. I'm rambling right now. We might have to cut this little part out.
Wow. Fuck it. When did you ramble?
I'm just trying to talk yet.
You're
right. I can't even think about what the fuck I was going to say.
Don't worry about that, man. Shit.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Hey, when it comes, say it.
There you go. Yeah. I'm blanking. Oh, shit, man.
Oh, man, shit. So, you know, you're not giving gifts. What else you got going this holiday?
Not much, man. Like I said, I'm going to go see the people on Christmas Day. Do that. You know, eat a little break bread, whatever. And, you know, honestly, I've been keeping funky. You know, like everybody, like, I got one member of my family who ain't vaccinated, right? And I'm not even trying to be Johnny Vax, you know what I mean? Where's your papers type shit? But we're just Omicron shit out here. I'd be sick if a motherfucker caught the vid at the home game. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But beyond that, we're gonna kick it, chill out. You know what I'm saying? We'll probably watch a movie. You know. But other than that, man, I'm going to chill. I'm going to get back here, clean the crib, try to, you know, throw out a bunch of shit and lay low. Like you said, I'm ready to stay out the way, man. I don't know if it's the fact of the news of this last variant has been so crazy and so many people been getting hit. That the shit got me a little nervous. I'm not gonna lie to you. I had a couple shows this weekend, and you know, I was trying to play it as safe as possible. You know what I mean? But you never know. You never know until you know, till you for sure, till you get that negative or that positive, then you got your clarity. So I'm in that limbo situation right now. I'm in that limbo situation right now. I'm retracing my steps. It was, yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Until you get that clarity.
Yeah, man. To your point, like you said, mad people have come across positive. Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Quite a few people I know have been coming across positive today, just like you. You know, they popping up. Yeah, man, got the shit. Yeah, caught it. Yeah, got me. I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah. I had a conversation with this motherfucker.
Finally, yeah, you know. Start retracing, like, okay, shit. What's up? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Oh, man. You know it was like that, dog?
What?
And it wasn't the COVID. Mm-hmm. So it was this article came out. Right. And it was saying, I ain't even gonna say the man's name because he's not here no more. Rest in peace. But anyway, it was saying that this certain cat had been a DEA informant, right?
Okay.
And it's a guy we know. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, damn. You know what I'm saying? Then you start retracing your conversation. Not that you had anything to hide, but like, wait a minute. What was my conversation? Because, you know, this is a guy that you know what I'm saying? He's you know, always friendly and, you know what I'm saying, we'll call you out the blue and just, you know what I'm saying, have a conversation with you and, you know, set some things up and y'all do some business. But he was like, man, this man was a DEA informant. You know what I mean? It's like, damn, what did we talk about now? It just make you look at your whole conversation, like you backtracking your thoughts, like, hold up, now, like, shit. You know what I mean? And it was shocking. It was like, you know what I'm saying? Not that, you know, it couldn't happen to anybody, but, you know, it's like, damn, he was on it like that? Like, I wonder where he got jammed up to where he had to, you know what I'm saying? Had to do that type of work. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like when did he have to wear the wire Rolex, you know?
Oh, man.
It was like, damn. You know what I'm saying? They gonna put that out there. Yeah. That man already gone and shit. It's terrible.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. That's how that COVID shit got me a little lightweight. I've been, you know, diligent, but I know yesterday I took the mic out the stand, that shit hit my lip. I was like, oh, I think I got it. They got me. This is some bullshit. They got me. I wanted to leave the stage right there, like, oh, nigga, they got me. Oh, this how it happened. Fuck this shit.
That's why he's stressing that test.
Yeah, man. I'm out here wilding, man. Oh, man, but it'll be all right. It'll be all right.
Yeah, that's terrible. Shit. That's terrible.
Yeah, it ain't too bad.
That old mic hit my lip.
Ooh. That shit is the worst. That's when you like, oh, man. Anyway.
Nigga, be like, man. You have to bring his own mic like Beyonce or something.
You know what I'm saying? Or LL. You know.
The four finger ring mic.
The four finger ring, yeah. That shit is hilarious when you see cats with their own mic. But I get it. I understand why they do it now. That shit is funny. Oh, fuck, man. Anyway. Did you watch The Young Powers and all of that shit?
Listen.
Go ahead, brother.
I want you to talk with me about the power, because somebody actually, while we've been talking, somebody hit me and was like, yeah, I can't wait to hear the power recap tomorrow. And I'm like, ooh.
And then they said
it was epic. Tyreek went to jail. And I'm like, wait, what?
Oh, man.
I need you to walk me through it, and I will have commentary. Because
shit, dog.
This is crazy. Like, what's going on?
Man, it was a good episode. It was a good episode, man. It was a good Sunday overall for episodes. But power wise, damn, man, because there was a couple. There was one scene I really wish you. I wish you saw, because there's one. The last scene, the kicker was some shit niggas would laugh at. Like, that shit was hilarious. Well, I'm gonna still talk about it, but so, and you know, I'm trying to remember as much as I could remember. What happens? How's this shit kick off? First off. Zeke on his way to go to jail. That's how it opens up. He's on his way to go to jail. He's about to turn himself in. They get to the station. Turns out Zeke doesn't need to turn himself in because they found Ramirez's body and it don't link back to Zeke.
Right.
So that kind of clears him. So now Zeke is with Davis and Monet. Davis is like, yo, y'all got to make some type of announcement, you know, to clear this man, da 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 da. They were like, yeah, we'll see what's up, whatever. So they bounce. Monet peeps, like, as they're about to break out, I guess Kane was there too. Kane about to pull off, Monet step in front of the car, like, nigga, you think I'm stupid? All of a sudden, Ramirez pop up when Zeke about to go to jail. You think so? What happened with you and Tariq? Da 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 da. So she want to know what's what.
And then she the one told him to go dig the body up.
Yeah, but is she the one that told him to dig the body
up? Yeah.
She was like, you know what? I'm tripping. And that's from the week before. That's when she stepped in front of him and told him to dig the body. Zeke goes back. Boom. There's that. I forget that still this kid, the white guy still got like a bit of a hard on for Zeke. So he's so focused on Zeke that he's not really considering anybody else.
Right.
But then Tate's brother, he's like, yo, let's start looking at some other people. And I think he's kind of one of the first people to kind of like consider Tariq. You know what I mean? Like they saying, you know, something happened. It was, I think there was some calls to Stansfield or something to that effect. So they were like, well, who
had Stansfield? Had the phone. He had made the mistake and made the call from the burner.
Right. And I think something even on Jabari's phone.
Right. Was he was the last one to call Jabari.
Right. Okay.
That was so what was in that phone.
Mm-hmm. So there's that. So then that starts to turn it back to Stansfield. Dude leans on Cotty Dodd like, yo, you gotta help us out. You gotta shake him down. Cause she was ready to be like, I'm done. And they was like, yo, aren't you part of the force? She was like, right, you know, she turned real Blue Lives Matter. You know what I mean? So she really locked in. She linked on Lauren like, yo, Lauren, we about to give you the super rolling now. This is the real time shit. This ain't just going to be recording. We're going to be able to listen. So we're going to upgrade you to the Daytona with the double mic. You know what I'm saying? So now she's like, I don't really want to do this. Like, yo, if you don't do this shit, we're going to fuck up your whole transcript type situation. We'll drag your name through the mud. You know, linked on the scared of the death. So now she got a whole new Rolex because then now they starting to think, maybe it's Braden. They're kind of thinking it's Tariq, but they're not really going straight at Tariq. Except what's her name? Because the detective, and I'm all over the place, but the detective says, you know what? Before you say you don't want to do this, just read Jabari's book. Because when I'm reading Jabari's book, there's a whole lot of shit that's pointing to somebody on Stansfield selling drugs. So she reads the book. She realizes it's probably Tariq. So then she's very pointed. You know, they always go to them classroom scenes where they be mad heavy-handed. So the lesson of the day is karma, and she coming at Tariq. So, Tariq, what do you think about karma? You know, everybody else trying to answer the question, jumping in. She's like, no, I asked Tariq. You know, that type of shit. And everybody can kind of see it. Lauren, like, damn. You know, at the end of the class, she's like, damn. You know, Cotty Dodd was really coming for you. He was like, yeah, I don't understand what that was, blah, blah, blah. So, what happens next? And I'm kind of out of
Monet. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So Monet, where Monet at it with it with Zeke coming out of like getting Zeke out and all this shit, and then leading up to Tyreek's demise.
So Monet pulls up on on Tariq on campus, you know what I mean? And she says, yo, take a ride with me. So she gets him in the car. She got the gun on her hip. She's like, nigga, didn't I tell you not to lie to me? What was the first thing I said when, you know, blah, 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 when I told you, you know, you wasn't supposed to lie to me, this, that, and the other thing. I'm cutting you off. She's like, I'm trying to think if there's two parts to where they at. I think maybe this, they come back a second time. But long story short, she's like, I need you to find out who Kanan's plug is. Some shit like that. So Tariq uses Lauren's car to follow, like, Braden, and Tariq sets
Tariq
up
a got meet. A ride.
Oh, he can finally got a ride. He got a nice ride, too. Lauren got a little BMW truck. So he whipping in that shit. He sets up a meet between, it was supposed to be between him and Kane, but then he sends Braden instead. Braden's like, man, I don't know where Tariq at. Tariq's over there peeping it out. Then he goes in the BM. He's following Kane. He's following Kane back to old homie spot, you know, looking like Lorenzo, his spot. And then he's taking pictures to kind of report back to Monet. And he goes up to the, you know, to the intercom shit, trying to get more information. Then he get caught by one of the guys that's outside. And then they got his face on the intercom like, yo, you see this motherfucker? And Kane is up there. Peep this. Now, this was
everybody
the
follow Kane back to the spot.
Yeah. But peep. So everybody, yeah, Kane is ridiculous. Kane stayed bringing motherfuckers back. So check this. So Kane's upstairs, and this goes back to what we said last week. So Kane's upstairs. There's a cat out there. I think his name is Nuff. He's the one that finds Tariq, starts throwing Tariq a beating. But upstairs, it's looking like Lorenzo, Kane, and Sushi Chef. You know what I'm saying? And maybe I forget who was somebody else, or maybe Nuff was upstairs. I forget. But anyway, they like, yo, Kane, you recognize this kid? Kane's like, nah, I don't know him. So they stop. They say, all right, let him go. You know what I mean? They just think he's just a random. Let him go. He got his ass whipped. So then Nuff comes upstairs and, you know, he's like, yo, I don't know why we let him go, this, that, and the other thing. Looking like Lorenzo was like, Kane, you sure you don't know that cat? He was like, yeah, I don't know that cat. And then Nuff was like, you believe this shit? You believe him? Looking like Lorenzo, you know, he get mad. He look over at Sushi Chef, who's over there sharpening his knives, because, you know, all he do is cut sushi all day.
He
slit that man's whole esophagus and trachea with one stroke. And the nigga fall into the ice with the rest of the sushi. He dead. You know, some brutal shit. you know, this the first time you really hear him talk. He ain't got no headphones and all that shit. Now,
he about bad as my man mama on Raising Canaan with a hearing aid.
But this guy, he got his hearing now. He's in the conversation.
He in the conversation now.
Yeah, he's all there. So, what else happens? Diane somehow, it comes down to Diane, because I think, you know, obviously now Kane knows that Monet sent Tariq to spy on him. Mm-hmm. So he mad. He starts spazzing on Diane. Diane's like, nigga, I already know you switched the coke for the sugar. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, like, Kane a little thrown off, like, oh, shit. And she start, like, turning, you know, she starts kind of leaning on him on some Monet shit. This is one of the best Diane episodes that I've seen, where it's like, you know, Diane, she been good, but she's always kind of walking around looking worried in the face. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't really, you know, like, don't really all the way lean into her power. This time, she started flexing a little bit, which kind of concerns me, because I'm thinking if Kane get desperate, he might kill her, or she might kill him. Who knows? I'm curious to see what's going to happen.
She all the way out there. Like, she done hired a lawyer to get her daddy probably on the way home, straighten all this shit out.
So check it. All right, so check it. So boom. So she's, I'm curious about what she going to do, and I'm curious about what Kati Dodd's going to do. Because I think now Kati Dodd, you know, so check this. So,
look, you call her Kati Dodd.
Kati Dodd. So, what happened? At some point, and I guess this is another time where Tariq and Monet get back up. Oh, okay, this is what happened. So, you know, all of this, you know, Tariq doing all of this other shit, running around, chasing Kane, also fucking going to class, also, you know, but then also at the same time, you know, he trying to get Yaz back. So he go to court to get Yaz. Somehow he got an apartment. Lauren goes with him to find an apartment and shit. So he got an apartment or whatever last minute. He gets Elvin to come represent him in court. And you know, to basically go against the grandmas, take the baby, get custody, while grandma go to rehab and get her shit together, and then maybe they could be a big family again. So he got his ass whipped. So, like, you know, he's kind of on his way back to court. First of all, he shows up to go get the apartment, to one apartment spot. They looking at it, they like, nah, we let it go. Don't worry about it. He looking crazy. Lauren's like, yo, what happened to you? He's like, I got jumped or I got robbed. She don't ask no more questions because Lauren is gullible. So the next day, somehow between then and the next day, he got an apartment. I don't know exactly what happened, but he got an apartment. We ain't see that. He's on his way to court. Monet pulls up on him again. Get in the car. She's like, nah, I'm going to hold you. So you ain't going to get your sister, because they find out that his sister kind of means something to him. I'm going to hold you from getting your sister like you held me from getting something. And Tariq look at Monet, and he's like, yo, you need me. this is probably the best Tariq scene in the whole shit. This might be my favorite Tariq scene. He said, yo, you need me. I'm going to tell you, she said, you lied to me or something like that. He said, look, you need me. You know what I mean? Like, you're not even, you need somebody to get this product out there. Let's be honest. You can't trust nobody because, first off, Kane is the one that switched the Coke from the sugar to the Coke. So there's that. Drew still fucking with the dude that plays ball with Zeke that you told him not to. They still over there jumping off. Fucking Diane is the one that stole the money out the safe at the bar. Like, he threw everybody on the fucking thing. Like,
and she said, look, and she still be coming to try to see me. Now what?
Yeah, right. Now, basically, and what? That was the whole shit. And what? She was like, all right, fair enough, nigga, go get your sister. And she let him out. He come in with the eye jammy, you know, last minute Tariq off, of course. Hey, I got everything you need. Eye jammied out. You know what I'm saying?
He but, daddy, man. That's how ghosts feel. Yeah. Ghosts come in after a shootout and a whole right. fight to the death. Put his suit check. On.
Check. So it's greater. As Bav would say, it gets greater later. So, so boom. So he gets Yaz. Looks like he gets Yaz. Hey, hey, all good. While he's in court, somehow cops offer the strength of, you know, Cotty died and all of that shit. And I don't know if Lauren did something. I guess Lauren might have snitched or Lauren might have somehow gave some information or whatever. Something happened. They run up into Reek's room. And obviously, you know, Kane hid the damn badge in the spot. So they discover the badge. Tariq, fresh off of a win from court, coming through with his suit on. Braden, like, on the campus. Like, the cops kind of got him detained. He trying to throw him the look like, fam, get up out of here. But before he could leave, he see Lauren and Cotty Dodd stand next to each other. Before he could leave, cops swarm him. Tariq St. Patrick, you're under arrest for the homicide of da-da-da-da-da. This nigga going to jail. So now, does he tell Davis on his way to jail? I forget, but they taking him to jail. He gets to jail. When he gets to jail, Elvin, you know, that was his lawyer for the case.
That's who got his trust. That's his daddy's
trust.
That's who got
his daddy's trust, but he also worked on the getting Yaz out. I guess he helped out. Right. Yeah, so he comes through. He's the daddy's trust, so he comes through, meets him at, like, you know, Holden or whatever. He comes out. He has a little manila envelope, and he's like, sealed manila envelope. He's like, yo, what's this? He's like, it's a letter from your father. He told me to get this to you if you ever got arrested. You know what I'm saying? But she said, well, what's in it? He said, I don't know. I never opened it. He was like, honestly, I hope that I'd never have to give it to you. He says, I bet. So then he leaves. So it cuts to the scene. Tariq's in the cell. He cracks the letter open.
He get mail first day.
First day from Pops, who's in the ground. We're on the ground. Ghost is haunting them. he cracks the shit, says, dear Tariq, I knew you wind up here, you little nigga. Oh, man, that shit
he didn't
was
say that shit.
I swear that nigga said that shit. I knew your ass would wind up here, little nigga. Man, that shit had me crying. I was like, this nigga ain't shit. He said, I knew you wanna be, you little nigga. Oh, man. Tariq looks so dejected. I don't know if it's another paragraph or more to it. Probably more, but that's when it cut away. That it's shit, like, I man.
Knew you were, was it his voice? Man. Did they use his voice? Or did he read it out loud?
Nah. I don't think they use his voice. I would have to go back with you. I don't think they use his voice. They might. I don't think so. I think it's, yo, man, that shit made the episode. The episode was great, but that shit was so fucking petty from the grave. So, anyway, so now, that might have been the last scene, or this might have been the last scene. Either way. So this could have been the last scene. So, you know, Tariq done hit Monet with all that information about everybody. Kane doing this, Diane doing that, Drew doing that. She come home, so she off balance. She don't even trust these motherfuckers now. Like, she got all the information. She ready to lean in. Crack the door open. Look in the living room. motherfucking Lorenzo at the head of the table. Baby, I'm home. And well, she's like, oh. They like, yo, Ma, you do this? This was a surprise. You ain't tell us. She was like, yeah, you know, I wanted to keep the surprise. Diane peep, like, Diane and maybe Kane peep. Oh, she didn't know type shit. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And it kind of ends like that. So
damn.
Who knows what's going to happen next year, man.
Took her mama out of power.
Basically, yeah. They trying to get Monet up out of there. It was a good one, man. It was a good one, dog. You gotta watch it,
yeah,
though, man.
I'm
wish you'd seen that.
Watch it now.
Yeah,
just from the simple fact, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm looking forward to what y'all gonna say about it. I'm like, damn. And then I was like, Tariq, it was epic. Tariq went. I was like, wait. What is going on? That's why I wasn't gonna let you not talk about it, because I wanted to hear about it.
Yeah, man. Nah, it was a good one, man. I wish you had saw that shit, because that just for the laugh, just for you, man. Because that shit, man. Oh, that shit was funny, dog. That shit. That nigga, it goes. It's hilarious. Listen, little nigga, exactly like that. I knew your ass would wind up here, little nigga. Ah, shit. That shit was funny, man. I said, this nigga Ghost is a fool. Oh, man. So there's that.
But I did see The Insecure, though.
Okay, back. Because that's that. I'm going to keep it funky. You know, we went in last week. They redeemed. This was the best episode of the season, in my mind.
Right. This was the most insecure episode of Insecure Season 5. You know what I'm saying?
Another all-star game.
Definitely an all-star game, but it stayed true to, you know what I'm saying, a lot of its original energy. It kind of, you know what I'm saying, closed in some loops. They did a lot of work on this motherfucker, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, you set it off. You run the play on this. I'll be here with the supplementals.
All right, so Tiffany's going away party, you know what I'm saying, at her mother's house, which is, nice little, spread, nice pad, in bougie
real
fashion.
Nice.
Uh-huh. I'm sure it must have been like a Ladera Heights, Baldwin Hills type of scenario or something. Mm-hmm. I don't know the particular neighborhood, but, that's what I would imagine.
That shit is sprawling.
Right. You know what I'm saying? On the estate, everybody's showing up and, doing their thing, cut to Lawrence and his homie Chad, funny nigga, who need to be in more episodes.
Right, that's your guy. Yeah.
It's like, you know what I'm saying? Nigga, you got some wood, I'm parched.
Nigga, you about to be a fraction.
he delivered them shits, boy. But Lawrence is debating whether he going to this shit or not, because he's still feeling some type of feels, it's true to Lawrence's character. You know what I'm saying? Lawrence always be on some fuckboy kind of shit. You know what I'm saying? As far as what internet definition of fuckboys and shit, but he always be on some weird shit when it come to shit. You know what I mean? And the way Chad broke him down, like, nigga, you always letting life happen to you. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he the type of dude let it happen to him and then want to cry about it later, instead of, trying to do something about it. And not even just in this particular scenario, that's just his character, the way they wrote it. You know what I mean? They wrote a lot of the black man characters in that kind of way. But anyway, we keep it moving. So, Lawrence is armed with that information as he, goes into this event, Nathaniel, what's the name? Nathan or Nathaniel? Nate.
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 I just call him Nate. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Nate, it's true, insecure Nate, Mm-hmm. He coming to the whole, he stay insecure about, I guess that's the show, but. He stay mm-hmm. insecure about shit, it was a trip that, we seen I thought it was his cousin that said that in the trailer we talked about, but it was the guy from the barbershop. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He just always, that shit just always be weird. Like, you know what I'm saying? It's like, it's just always got some weird energy. when he got to show up in front of people. Maybe it's part of you know, the bipolar or whatever his mental illness is or whatever. Maybe that's part of it, and I don't really know it. So I'm judging his character, you know what I'm saying? But maybe that's supposed to be in his character. But he just always, you know what I'm saying, anytime people come around, he get funny style, you know what I mean? Or anytime rubber hits the road, he gets clam up and get funny style. Which, you know, again, you know, for me, I always trip off of how they write all of the black men characters, you know. So that's you know, that's how Nate do his thing. And then you got New Boy, the lawyer. You know what I'm saying? Torian. You know what I'm saying? So Torian, he the realest niggas out the bunch. You know what I'm saying? Even before we got to the punchline of his realness, it's just like he like a person, you know what I'm saying? And I you know, he came in there, he don't know none of these people, you know what I'm saying? But he ain't tripping. He ain't tripping off what they doing. He just doing him. You know what I'm saying? Now, it was a little weird when he had a little box and then he said it was trash. So I'm like, oh, this nigga starting off on this nigga weird.
Yeah, it threw me off too. Then yeah. He redeemed himself.
Yeah, it was weird. But then when they all sat down and then he was like, shit, y'all want to order some chicken?
That nigga was funny. Game you know changer. Yeah. Fucking DoorDash enhancement. He was like, no, that shit, game changer. That nigga sounded high and hungry.
He was on his own shit. You know what I'm saying? He was like, man, fuck it, nigga. Y'all doing it. I'm hungry, man. Fuck all that. Y'all right, wait on these whores, divorce if you want. To order me some chicken. But, you know, which set off a chain of Lawrence and Nathan out fuckboying each other. You know what I'm saying? They got into their little pissing match of you know, what they meant.
Some more.
They meant in Issa's life. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah. Which, you know, is classic Lawrence shit. You know what I mean? But, you know, and then Nate trying to play it cool for a minute, but he don't really know how to play it cool. So, you know what I'm saying? They get into their little, they start to run down their road. So, you know, as this all unfolds, you know, Molly and Torian, they having a great time. You know what I'm saying? They might be the only ones having a great time in this whole function. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, they having it, and it's like her final redemption. You know what I'm saying? Like, they started Molly's character off with broken pussy. You know what I'm saying? From all the way back when Issa, you know what I'm saying, was saying her shit ain't work. Like, what's wrong with you? You know, you tripping. To now she's able to experience something that feels real for her. You know what I mean? And and then you see Issa's character is still in the middle of a tragic mess, you know what I'm saying? As per usual, but she was calling her out at the beginning of this series. So, you know what I'm saying? It feels like they're starting to bring that storyline full circle and I like the way they juxtapose, you know what I'm saying, the type of guy that Torian was, especially in the line when they came up with when he popped up on Dro and Molly talking.
Right. And, real chill.
Right. And then, Dro trying to run his little campaign on the low as he do. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, it's a divorce. You know, I don't really want to talk about it. You know, and trying to draw that sympathy in, and then when old boy popped up, and then she was just like, yeah, this Dro, we used to do whatever. You know what I'm saying? He was in an open relationship. Dro, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, why you telling your nigga this shit? You know what I'm saying? I can't run a play. I can't run a play if he like, man, he had to get the hell out. He was like, let me get out of here. They ran Dro off. But it was just like, you know, I did this with him, you know what I'm saying? We kicked it, you know what I'm saying? We hooked up a lot. And he was like, okay. You know what I'm saying? Because really, in grown folk language, all right, you know what I'm saying? I'm sure you did hook up with somebody a lot along the way. You know what I'm saying? Many people along the way. as a grown ass, you know what I'm saying, professional, 30 something, down there 40 year old person, nigga, we grown.
I used to hustle Adderall.
You know what I'm saying? Like shit, we grown, man. Ain't nobody tripping on that. And that's a real, it's like once you reach a certain place in life, like you don't worry about the shit you used to worry about when you was 20 something. You know what I'm saying? Oh yeah, right. She used to talk to such and such. You be like, nigga, I don't know that nigga. You know what I'm saying? So what is that supposed to mean? You know what I mean? That's supposed to mean I can't like her or not. Right, you tripping. Ain't nobody tripping on that shit. So I just like that they juxtaposed that Torian's character versus all the other guys, Dro, Lawrence, Nate, you know what I'm saying? All of the insecure guys versus a guy who, like, you know, he ain't tripping on this. And, you know, they came through and, you know what I'm saying, sullied up, you know, Tiffany mama pantry and shit. I don't know how they got that off, but... All right.
Yeah, they
know. Because they was, they, you know what I'm saying, they, as pure insecure fashion, wasn't no rubbers around, so.
True to form. True to form. Yeah,
true to form. Where did they leave the mess?
Yeah. I ain't even think about that. Yeah, that's something.
I just think about if a motherfucker was doing that at my house. Like, what? But wait, now you right. did. What? Now, hold up.
No.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? What's going on? What you wipe with? Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's like, crazy. What you wipe with? Let's figure this out before we move forward. We need to sanitize the place.
Yeah.
But it was fun. It was a fun episode. It was a fun episode, though. I only had one gripe, and it was a line. It wasn't even a situation, it was just one line. And, I'm trying to recall what the line was, but I felt like it could have been delivered. And it was a Torian line. Oh, when she said it, when she was talking about, you know, guys usually get tired of her. You know what I'm saying? I felt like his response could have been a little more, you know what I'm saying, have a little more substance to it. Other than
rather than some G. I'll never get tired of you.
I'll never get tired. You're like, oh, nigga. I mean,
yeah, don't
you
do know that. I felt that too. I didn't really think about in that moment where I saw it. I was like, that sound like G. You know what I mean? Because you can't really predict it. I guess
right.
Yeah.
It felt like there could have been a better comeback. You know what I'm saying? To make her feel like without. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was like a cop-out line. Like, oh, man, nigga just threw that in there to hold the place. Forgot to change it.
Right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Damn, yeah.
Because you know what I'm saying? Because the rest of the show, the rest of the lines, everything was flawless. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything was wham, bam, bam. It was just that. It was like, oh.
Yeah.
It felt like. They let you off the, you know what I'm saying? Like, they had you in, and then they let you off. And you're like, ah, damn, man.
Yeah.
Nah. You know what I mean? It's like, ah.
Especially like, for them, yeah. Well, go ahead.
No, it just felt like, you know what I'm saying? I was all in it, and then that one line kind of, like, it was the crack. You know, like Power might have a lot of cracks in it, you know what I'm saying? A lot of face acting, you know what I'm saying? A lot of, you know, like, oh, come on now, stop it. How Tyreek get Wade fuck over that? You know what I'm saying? It's always something that breaks the fourth wall and shit. You know what I'm saying? In this particular episode, it had you in there. And it just that one line, you know what I'm saying, kind of threw me out. But that's a small complaint, you know what I'm saying, much as we've been complaining all season.
Yeah. But I could see that because for the first – especially between those two characters, right? Like, Molly is, she's super serious, you know? Like, she's gonna overthink a lot of different things. And then Torian is super serious. I don't know if he's an overthinker, but he seems to have things kind of, he's settled in his thoughts. It's not a whole lot of wiggling. Like, he's not, you know what I mean, he's not wary about the stuff that he's going to say or where he's going to go. And yeah, it just felt like she was being vulnerable in that moment. And for somebody that don't really get that vulnerable, especially somebody that he known for a while, for her to get that vulnerable, but to be able to articulate how she felt emotionally in that moment, for him to be like, I'll never get tired of you. It definitely felt like some old rom-com shit. Like, right. I don't know what he could have said in that moment. Maybe he just wanted to, maybe, you know, chalk it to the fact that they high, but, you know, whatever. He trying to, you know, you know, in the pantry or whatever. But, like, it could have been a little bit.
Nah, that was an opportunity to deliver a slick line right there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like, they ain't had no players in the room. You know what I'm saying?
That's funny. That's funny. There's no players at the table.
Yeah, there wasn't no players at the table. So it's kind of like, that's one of them moments you be waiting on to kind of, you know, say something that could stick. You know what I mean? Like when you say something, then it's just silence after that shit. You know what I mean? That type shit. You know, so it felt like that's what someone was supposed to hit right there. Like, bam. Like, oh.
Yeah.
This nigga serious.
Yeah.
I like
put him
that.
Over.
I like that. You know what I'm saying? That's where you're supposed to say something. Be like, I like that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
10 years later, remember you told me?
Right. Mm-hmm. In that pantry.
Yeah.
And you know hold what I'm you to that shit. She's gonna hold you to that shit you said too, that bullshit you said, I'll never get tired of you, which was generic.
Right. And, right. As soon as you get tired, you're like, listen, you motherfucking talking about you, I never lying ass nigga in the pantry, lying pantry ass nigga.
Should have left you in there with that macaroni. Yeah.
Right. You supposed to say some shit motherfucker reflect on.
Right. Yeah.
Times get tough, they just reflect.
That's a tough line. That could have been a good line.
Yeah, it was an opportunity. It was an opportunity.
You pitch something? You want to pitch something? You want to pitch something?
Oh, no, I don't want to pitch nothing. I just, you know, I ain't think about it that deep as far as what I would have wrote. You know what I'm saying? Shit, it ain't my job. My job is to be entertained. You know what I'm saying? I'm like them people who come to your comedy shows, nigga. It ain't my job to tell jokes, nigga. Shit.
Right, nigga. I just felt like you could have done something else there.
Make me laugh.
Right.
That's when you got to heckle a nigga. You got to roast a nigga.
Right. Get in them. Pause. Well, all right, so check this out. Hey, pause. I'm too old for that shit. Anyway, I was just thinking about this. The Tiffany departure, you know, moving to Denver and all of that. And, you know, we really seen it on this episode because they really leaned into it. I mean, it's always been kind of like, you know, something that's been in the air for a while, but I feel like that seems to be the metaphor for the show going away. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna miss you. Y'all ain't gonna be. It's not gonna be the same without y'all. This, that, and the other thing. Mm-hmm. Whatever. It's like, yeah, it's the end of an era. All of that type of shit.
Yeah.
It feels like, you know, it's kind of on a meta level, like, you know, we saying goodbye to the show. We saying goodbye. We getting everybody, as many of these people as we could get. We getting everybody up in the spot. You know what I mean? All of the characters that you love. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? All the, you know what I mean? Everybody kind of getting the line off. Again, it felt very all-star game. You know what I mean? Right.
You know what I'm saying? And for that, they are appreciated. I appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? That's like, if you're not gonna go in and stay true to the form of the show all the way through and just see it out, you know what I'm saying? I guess that would be a good way just to appease everybody, you know, throw in your favorites, bring back some, you know what I mean?
Right.
Tie-ups, you know what I'm saying? Give some people who've been catching hell the whole time, give them some light, you know what I'm saying? Mm. Build everybody's resume. But if you look at, like down there, each episode of this season is this, like, own independent thing. You know what I'm saying? It don't feel like it all go together. But, you know, hey, this one, you know what I'm saying, I felt entertained by, at least.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, some of the other ones, it felt like you just watching them do their thing. You know what I mean? And it's like, all right, we're doing this for whatever particular reason. Like you said, it could be on some meta shit, you know, or on some, you know, let's give such and such the shine. Let's give, you know what I'm saying, these two thespians the entire episode so they could show their craft and go deep with the emotional shit. You know what I'm saying? They did all of those things, but this was the one that felt kind of entertaining and true to the show.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a good balance of all of that. It was a good balance of all of that. And then for as many characters as they had in the episode, it was nice. It was nice distribution. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, you know, people came in, got their points off, you know, maybe tied up some loose ends and got up out of there. Like Condola, you know what I mean? Condola, like she got a little, you know, that little awkward moment with Issa. But I feel like they kind of, you know, tied that up. We might not see Condola again. Maybe, maybe not. You know, they brought back, what's my man's name? You just said his name with Molly. Solo, what's my man's name?
Dro?
Dro. Brought back Dro. You know, again, just to, you know what I'm saying, tip the hat. Remember Dro? Hey, so, you know what I mean? Here go Dro. Dro got a little quick moment. Blase Skip, he had a cool little funny line in the little barbecue in the play. You know, Chad got to come back. Issa's brother got to come back. you know what I'm saying? Which was wild funny. How quick he moved on, homie. That shit was funny.
Homie is one of the writers.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, yeah. He, that was, I think his name's Michael something. But he is Black Boy Writes on Instagram. He wanted to write. He used to do these little short writing things on Instagram. I thought it was really cool. And I don't know if that was before or after he was already writing on the show, but I discovered him off of these little. He'd do these little short writings, and I forget the concept of it, but I was like, oh, that's cool. You know what I'm saying? For somebody that does a craft and was able to create some type of content out of a craft, you know what I'm saying? That's not an easy thing to do, especially. Like, for me, like how do you translate your craft into, you know, some digestible shit for everybody?
Right,
I always appreciated how he did that, you know what I mean? That's how I got hip to him.
I check it out. Speaking of that, you saw Prentice come through with the tray, with the whack tray. He did his little Alfred Hitchcock, you know what I mean? Because he wrote and directed, I believe, that. He came through with a tray. They was like, ah, some bullshit. It was like a bruschetta tray.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
But I didn't really pay attention. That was him.
Yeah, that was him.
They just playing now. They just like shit. Come on.
Yeah, they having fun with it.
Going out there, Prentice, like the rap party. Yeah, going out there, Prentice.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not gonna get up. Going out there.
Just like they had, like when they were in the what was the doctor scene? I guess it was, with Condola and them. The Asian doctor, he was the guy that wrote the episode, that episode. You know what I'm saying? Like they popping in a little Easter egg shit. That little barbecue back and forth, that was very petty, but that was a nice little back and forth, little spa situation just to kind of let them get their shit off. You could see it was an interesting dynamic between the two of them, like you said. You know, Chad kind of pointed out that Lawrence tends to let life happen to him. He said, sitting at the dock of the bay ass nigga. You know what I'm saying? Kind of put the battery in his back, like, man, go ahead and make that happen for yourself. You know what I'm saying? And then Nate kind of still, you know, to some fault of his own too, and based on both of their dynamic, he still feel insecure about his position with Issa. You know what I'm saying? So then when he see Lawrence in the mix, he definitely on the defense mode. You know what I mean? And and I guess kind of trying to be a little territorial, like, yo, you know what I mean? I know y'all had y'all past, but I'm the present type shit. You know what I mean? And this was kind of more so the most, this was a redeemable look for Nate. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of, you know, like he kind of, you know, he was present throughout the whole shit. You know what I'm saying? Like even in that moment where they came from by the garbage can and shit like that. He was like, yo, what's going on here? You know what I'm saying? And he was like, I'm cool, but I could go up. And I was like, okay, nigga, where was that energy in the barbershop? But I was like, all right. There was one part where they was getting at each other, and he throw like a left slap. Or like, I was like, what's up with the light open hand slap? Like, that wasn't going, that's not how you end the situation.
Hey, man, but, you know, they didn't have the stunt. They didn't have the stunt.
Yeah, that shit was hilarious.
On set this today.
Yeah. But I tell you, one moment that made me laugh out loud was when it was just, they good with the little psych shit. When when Issa about to eat that macaroni ball, and right, he's like, yo, it's hot. She's like, ah, and that shit, that I rewound that shit about four times. Cause she was funny. But what was funny was the waiter's face. Like, he was like, I told your ass that shit was hot. Like, yeah, just the way he reacted at it was like, yeah, it's fucked up. But come on now, I told you, it's a macaroni ball. This shit is hot out the fucking grease.
But that was that foreshadowing, because that's when she saw Lawrence.
Yeah. She tried to, you know. So there was that. What else did I think? That was interesting when Kelly slapped Molly. Like, it was funny, but I don't know if it was all the way played. Like, you know, I guess Molly was high or whatever, but I don't know if I'd be wanting to see more violence sometimes. I mean, like, it just, cause she, it was a smooth, it wasn't an all the way slap the shit out of it, but it was a cool, heavy hand. Like, yeah, a very relaxed, heavy hand. It was heavier than what Nate threw. Yeah, it was heavier than what Nate threw. It was just a... She was like, did you just slap me? It was like, well, you know, I'm high, you know, da-da-da-da-da, whatever. But that shit was cool. Seeing them, you know, get their little, you know, their little talks or whatever. I mean, we kind of touched on all of the plot points. I'm trying to think what else... I didn't really think about that Issa Molly juxtaposition, how you seeing like Molly kind of get into the, you know, like kind of resolving some of the issues she might have had at the top of the thing, whereas Issa is still kind of lingering, you know? Right. I'm curious how they're going to sum all this shit up in one last 30-minute episode. I'm curious what the vibe is going to be, if that was the last hurrah, like the curtain call on a lot of the extra characters. Is it going to be like a more intimate type of thing?
Did you see the previews? I didn't see the preview.
Might have seen the previews. I watched the previews, but I never, like, you know how they shuffle the scenes up so crazy that, you know, it don't really seem like a whole lot. I think I saw something, but...
Nah, I didn't see it. I was just afraid. I didn't know if they was going to come with a, you know what I'm saying, Lawrence and Issa episode.
Oh,
kind of like
what?
The couch episode, you know what I'm saying, from the other season.
Right, at the very end where they was trying to throw out the couch or some shit like that. Yeah. I think I did see the episode. It was kind of like... Yeah, I've been in the preview. She starts off in the mirror. I forget what happens, but I think it's going to be something like that. I think that's kind of how they're going to land it. I mean, that seems like the safest bet. Everything else is kind of, you know, kind of like just some ancillary shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
man, we done did everything else. I mean,
yeah, and we've done the Lawrence and Issa shit a couple times too, so it's like, it don't really, I'm just curious,
but
how they gonna
last open, that's the last open scenario.
Yeah, that's the Hail Mary.
You know what
I'm saying? I think she probably gonna go dolo. I don't think she's gonna be with either one of them. I think
at this point, yeah, they exposed as, you know.
Yeah.
So
I did like that last scene though, after the fight. Like, you know, I mean, we joke about it, but Issa might patent that I'm about to cry face. That I'm about to cry face was good. It was a nice cut at the end. Like, you all right? And she looking around, like, you could see the tears right there, the precipice, you know what I'm saying? And it cut, fade to black type shit. I was like, all right. I wasn't mad at that. I wasn't
I mean, the about to cry could work, you know what I'm saying? Because she's executed the cry to, you know what I'm saying? Her cry has been getting better, you know what I'm saying? You could tell she's been working on it, but it's not, you know, it's not a believable cry yet, you know what I'm saying? She'll get there because I can see the work, you know what I mean? I see the progress from the couch episode to, you know, now it's you know, night and day. But, you know, even when the couch episode, even though it wasn't well executed cry, I at the time I appreciated her for even trying that shit. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. I was like, oh, that's a leap. That's a whole leap, you know what I'm saying? From awkward black girl to the, you know, I'm about to do this dramatic cry. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that shit took some fearlessness, you know what I'm saying? Some taking a chance, taking a risk.
Yeah. I can't even remember that episode. I just remember the last
she fell part, down on the floor crying. It was like, come on,
stop. My memory's terrible. I just remember, I think the last scene of that shit is the couch on the curb or something like that. Or she's sitting on the curb with the couch, or they both sitting on the curb with the couch.
Right. What y'all gonna do with this bouch?
Right. I remember that, homie. That was the last, the little last note. It was funny. Yeah, I might have to go back. What was that, season 3?
I don't know.
Yeah, something like that. I felt like it was a little while ago. I don't be remembering a whole lot of that shit, you know, but... yeah, I'm curious how they gonna, you know, close the door on the whole shit. You know, only got 30 minutes, 35 minutes maybe. You know, I think it's gonna be probably just fucking, you know, the Issa and Lawrence episode, most likely. I can't think of anything else that needs to really be touched upon that's really that pressing, you know. And if they do that, will it kind of thin out the rest of the episode if they kind of just, you know what I mean? I think this last episode was for that.
But, well, we gonna see, man. We gonna see. Appreciate the, you know, the whole thing and giving the culture some content to chew on.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Bringing some new elements to the black zeitgeist, right, in film. So. Yeah. Definitely, they came and did their motherfucking job.
Yeah.
For sure.
And kicked the door before a whole lot of shit, too, because if we think about the landscape back when they first premiered versus now, I mean, back then it was just them and maybe Empire, and I forget which one came first. Mm-hmm. And now, it's shit. It's quite a few. It's more than 10 black shows.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That are out there thriving. There's so many black shows, it's like, we got something all parts of the year.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there ain't no part of the year where it's no black representation in some capacity. There's so many black shows that I haven't even watched all the black shows.
Right.
And that's saying something.
And they brought a nice texture to the black space, you know what I mean? So
Yeah. Hey. So there it is.
Salute. You want to give you your flowers.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I ain't going to cut you off, but no, I'm just
hilarious. Yo, look at this on FaceTime. It's up.
Shit. That's it, man.
Shit, this thing is time to roll out, man. I know you got that whole fucking
this road up off me.
Yeah.
Feel like a truck driver.
That's a hardy. What took you, 15 hours? How long did it take the whole trip? What you clocked in?
It was about 15 and some change, man, because, you know, this was a lot of traffic. Ran into some traffic in a couple of spots. You know, that traffic can kill your ETA.
Yeah. And then just sitting in the whip, too, that kills some of that momentum.
Yeah, that kills
your whole vibe. Was you on coffee or you was just straight green drinks and fucking?
Nah, I had, that's where I made my first mistake. Because I was leaving out early in the morning, like a good 4 o'clock in the morning, I knew it wasn't gonna be much coffee available. You know what I'm saying? Okay. Fresh. So I you know, this green juice that I be buying out the store is like Suja, Suja, or some shit like that, right? Boom, start with a little celery joint, and then, you know, got another type of green joint. But then they had like a energy shot that was supposed to be such and such caffeine, blah, 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 woo, woo. You know, I went against my better judgment. Like, when you about to do some real shit, you don't change your routine. You know what I'm saying? You don't switch it. You don't add no new shit to your routine.
Yeah, not on the big game. Yeah.
Right, but I'm like, well, you know, it's going to be 4 in the morning. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. You know, let me just get this just in case. You know what I'm saying? And so I got the joint. And then, you know, coming out the gate, I'm like, okay, hour ends. Like, you know what? Shit, I could go for a coffee, but damn, Starbucks ain't open over there. Dang, none of the shit open, right? So I'm like, let me try this shit. You know, I thought it was going to taste nasty like a 5 hour, but it was actually, it was very tasty. But it wasn't, I didn't know what to expect on the effect. And then, you know, when you fucking with caffeine and shit, you don't know how that shit going to drop off. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, so, you know, I've mastered the espresso based coffee with no sugar and no milk. I know what that's going to do. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I know that's how that's going, you know what I mean? I know that's, you know, it's not going to be a sharp decline. It's just going to be an easy, smooth sale. But this shit here, you know, it was cool. It wasn't really a sharp uptick. But then you could definitely feel the drain. And it didn't take long. It was about like an hour and a half. It was like, wait a minute. This shit ain't. Man, I fucked my whole game up. You know what I'm saying? So now I got to try to go back to my, you know what I'm saying? But now you done already done fucked up the formula, you know? So it was just, I was just off. You know what I'm saying? Not to the point where I'm going to fall asleep or no shit. But it's just like, I'm not at my optimal. You know what I'm saying? Right. I done changed up my routine, and I don't like it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
And then the fact that you know you changed up your routine even impacts you more mentally.
Right.
You're like, damn, I knew I should have went. I should have went with this play, but I went with that play. So now that's in your head, and that even makes it even worse. Because, you know, yeah, that's crazy. That drink you had, was it some natural shit, or was it like some old... You know, like taurine and all of that.
Nah, it was two ingredients. It was caffeine from the caffeine berry, and then some other, you know, type of juice or whatever. Yeah. So, you know, that brand, you know, I don't know, you don't know what motherfucker you're putting in shit, but that brand, you know what I'm saying, is positioned, I would say that, in the natural space. You know what I'm saying? Gotcha. You're going to find it in the natural aisle and all that shit. But, again, you know, I don't know. But this shit wasn't what I needed, you know what I'm saying? And you know, it just threw me off. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, man.
So,
but you made it.
Yeah. So, you know, on the way back, it just makes for a harder trip. On the way back, you know what I'm saying, I got to make sure I plan out all my steps.
Right.
To smooth selling.
Yeah. You don't got a coffee maker at the house? Or you don't really make coffee like that?
That type of coffee ain't going to work.
I got you.
You know what I'm saying? It got to be an espresso based. You know what I'm saying? You know, I definitely ain't got no full espresso machine at the crib. You know what I'm saying? Like, like just the drip ain't going to work. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes the drip, I have the opposite effect. Sometimes you drink a drip, that shit'll make you sleepy. You're like, oh, man. You know what I'm saying? And then I was really at the point I was like going to stop fucking with coffee altogether. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, because, like, when you do a drip, especially like a drip with sugar and some, like, you know what I'm saying? That's when I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, oh, nah, this is making me sleepy. Then more sleepy than, you know what I'm saying? Than just not fucking with it. Right. When I discovered the espresso, you know what I'm saying? When I did espresso with nothing in it, just the nasty ass shit. And I'm like, okay, this is how that shit supposed to go. You know what I'm saying? Because it wasn't no crash and none of that shit like that. So, you know, and then, you know, I'm a streak coffee drinker anyway. I drink that shit for a week, 2 weeks, and then leave it alone for a while.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, man.
Let's transform and roll out, man.
You've been nigga, that was the longest transform ever. My bad.
It's all good. Till next time, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even the enemy.
To get in the conversation. We out. Word.